This is Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a production of Catholic Radio Indy. Now here's today's program. This is Faith in Action on Catholic Radio. I'm Jim Ganley. Our co-host is Bridget Ayer.
Yeah, it's great to be with you. Hello, everyone.
Still having leftovers at your house?
I am still having leftovers. I love Thanksgiving, and I love the turkey and the gravy, and I ate boatloads, and it was awesome.
Are you down to turkey omelets yet?
No. We ate like everything. It's gone.
All right. I'm sure there's a lot of listeners that are still got a refrigerator full thinking, omelets. Maybe we could try that.
I've never made an omelet from turkey leftovers. All right. Well, I'm glad you're with us. And we're going to be talking about a special thing called special needs. And actually, the month of November, which we're still in the month of November, is the 40th anniversary of the U.S. Bishop's document addressing special needs. And to talk about that and all the wonderful work that the Archdiocese does with special needs, we're welcoming our guest, Aaron Jeffries. Welcome.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And Aaron, you are the coordinator of special needs in the Office of Catholic Education. Is that correct?
Yeah, basically.
And now tell us, okay, I want to start off with when we talk about people with special needs, I think there's a lot of people aren't really sure what that means because it can encompass a lot. How do you define that? How would you explain that to someone who doesn't really know? Or they've heard that term, but they don't know what that really means.
Sure. I actually really like the definition that the National Catholic Partnership on Disability uses. They define disabilities as the normal and expected outcome of the risks, stresses, and strains of the living process.
Wow. Yeah. That's good.
Yeah. I like it because it highlights just how common the experience is, but also respecting the unique experiences and aspects of various disabilities that people experience. But in terms of language, there are impairments, which are just, you know, you might call them just physiological glitches that hamper a basic like life function.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, physical, sensory, mental, emotional difficulties. So a disability is a personal experiencing of that impairment.
And the thing is that sometimes, you know, with special needs or various impairments, if they are physical, a lot of times if someone's in a wheelchair or they have some physical disability, it's easy to see that and kind of empathize with them or support them because it's so obvious. But when people have more cognitive disabilities, I guess I'll use that word, or mental impairments or things with your thinking, how those can be invisible because a person can look completely normal, and so you kind of expect that person to act completely normal, and then when they act differently, you're kind of surprised, you're not sure. So talk about that, the difference between maybe the physical and the maybe cognitive impairments, and then how you address training people to help people with the various kinds. And there may be other categories.
Sure. There are a few disabilities that do tend to be a little more hidden. Mental illness tends to be a big one. A lot of people are in treatment. They are, working on that. But at the same time, they do have their struggles. And so, making sure that there is information out there for parishes to understand that this is a significant number of their population. I think it's about 1 in 20, like 1 in 5 families or people experience mental illness.
That's pretty high. So that'd be what, 20%?
Yeah.
That's pretty big.
20 to 25%.
That's a large population when you think about it.
Now that's everything. That can even be more temporary,
sure,
anxieties, mm-hmm, or depression, but mm-hmm, it could also be more serious or sustained lifelong mental illness. So that's one that's pretty common. As far as cognitive disabilities, you know, things like autism. Mm-hmm. You know, you'll have individuals who, again, you know, as you mentioned, you know, look completely normal, and in many, many ways they do function pretty normally, but they will have difficulties maybe when it comes to social interaction or certain kinds of interaction. So again, it's just built a lot of, one of the biggest things that I've done trainings on is dealing with just difficult behaviors, but mm-hmm. understanding that when these things come up, one of the first things I say, and I repeat it a lot, is just stop for a moment, ask the question, why?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that yeah. makes a lot of sense. Now, I want to go back. I kind of jumped ahead, but I want to ask mm-hmm. you, what is the mission and purpose of your office? And talk a little bit about your role in that office as the coordinator.
Sure. Well, you know, as far as a mission or purpose, I mean, really, in a word, I'd say belonging. Mm. You know, my role, I'm in the office of catechesis, so okay. my role is really to support parishes in engaging in relationships and offering appropriate supports to empower individuals to achieve that fullest measure of personal participation, not just in faith formation, but really in the entire life of the parish and church life. Just so that they have an opportunity to serve and to know that they really are part of that community.
So that would involve, you know, if they want to volunteer, if they want to be a Eucharistic minister, or if they want to, you know, whatever, you know, usher, whatever, and then also then the faith formation part, so that they can participate in the sacramental life.
Absolutely.
So then what about the education aspect in terms of the schools? Do you help mm-hmm. with the parish schools? Okay, so you've got the parish life, but then do you help with educators, like help with if an educator at a Catholic school
sure.
has a question or a talk about that?
Sure. Well, my role with the Catholic schools is a little more limited.
Okay.
Usually the assistant superintendents are usually more, they arrange lots of professional development for their teachers and principals. In fact, there's a mini workshop coming up at Marion in the spring that they've been advertising pretty heavily already. And that's just one example. If parents come to schools with IEPs, it's definitely, you know, they have opportunities to work both with their principals and teachers, but also with the superintendents.
Okay. And you said IEP. I know what that is
because
I have school-age kids. Yeah. But what is an IEP for those who may not know?
Sure. Sorry. Individualized Education Plan.
And that's for children who have some type of diagnosis.
Yeah.
And then they, you know, and then the school tries to implement that
exactly.
to help them accommodate whatever their issue is, right? Okay, if you're just joining us right now, we're talking mm-hmm. with Erin Jeffries. She is the coordinator of special needs for the Office of Catholic Education for the Archdiocese of Indianapolis. And how did you happen to get into this kind of profession? Are you an educator? Are you tell us how God got you into this?
Well, in some ways, you might say my heart was prepared for this ministry a long time ago with my experience with my younger sister. Mary has multiple disabilities that resulted from a stroke she had when she was very young. So, you know, that and several members of my family struggle with mental illness, and I have nephews that have autism and attention deficit. Hyperactive disorders. So it's just kind of been a part of my life. Also,
right, so you had training prior
exactly.
to the job, right?
Yeah, and then I am a teacher by heart, so I've had my background is a lot of education, but formally religious education and theology. So really this position is just kind of a melding of two of my greatest passions. So when the opportunity came up, it wasn't really one that I'd thought of, but it made a lot of sense.
Yeah, and I'm always really impressed with people that, you know, it's one thing, you know, Dr. Ray Guarendi, you know, is a good example. You know, he has all the head knowledge, but he also has dealt with, you know, I think he has 12 adopted children, right? Isn't it?
10, I think.
10, okay. I want him to have 12 apostles.
We'll get two more, right? You're just not trying.
Exactly. But, you know, it's different if you have real experience, not just the book experience, but when you've actually lived it. And I think you bring that compassion into the profession of really kind of understanding firsthand, you know, what people are dealing with that are trying to support other people. So now let's talk a little bit about the 40-year anniversary of the Bishop's Document. What is the document called, and what did it urge people to do, I guess, in our faith community?
Sure. Well, the document is called the U.S. Bishop's Pastoral Statement on Persons with Disabilities. They've written several of them over the years. This one is celebrating its 40th anniversary this year, and very relevant still in a lot of ways. It was written basically to express the bishop's commitment to growing in understandings both of the gifts and challenges individuals with disabilities face, but they also calling us, the faithful, to kind of examine our own attitudes and how we reach out to folks with disabilities, and really just to begin to address that great need that they saw for better integration into the parish life. Like this was really just the beginnings and the foundations for this ministry. And just and also one of the amazing things is it actually constitutes a mandate to form an office, a national office, that would support dioceses and parishes in doing this ministry. It's kind of taken different names and forms over the years. Now it's called the National Catholic Partnership on Disabilities, and they have they're one of my greatest resources. They have councils on of folks who are in the field for mental health, for individuals with intellectual and developmental disabilities. I'm on that council to help provide background for that, and just resources for parishes that just better want to just to learn more and work on supporting individuals in that way.
I think we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back to talk more with Aaron Jeffries about special needs and how the church is addressing those in the parishes. Stay tuned.
Most of us like to keep up on what's going on in the world and try to catch a little news each day. Did you know that you can catch the very latest Catholic news right on our website? We have news from Rome, from around the world, and here at home, updated every day so you always know what's going on from a Catholic perspective. Check it out. Go to CatholicRadioIndy.org and look for the Catholic news headlines. There's always something new at CatholicRadioIndy.org.
You know us as Catholic Radio Indy, but we're so much more than just radio. We're a website, CatholicRadioIndy.org, with access to great Catholic resources, including podcasts of all our local programming, podcasts that have been downloaded from all 50 states and over 40 countries on 6 continents. Yes, we are Catholic Radio Indy, but thanks to your support, we're taking the gospel of Christ to the ends of the earth. Catholic Radio Indy and CatholicRadioIndy.org.
It never fails when I turn the radio on. It is like God is speaking directly to me.
Catholic Radio Indy.
God is definitely using that ministry.
Welcome back to Faith in Action. I'm Bridget Ayer, and we're here with our guest, Aaron Jeffries. She is the Coordinator of Special Needs for the Office of Catholic Education for the Archdiocese of Indianapolis. And I want to talk about the approach. How we talked earlier in the interview that roughly, you know, 20 to 25% of parishioners have some type of special need. And I want to ask you, that's quite a bit. And I want to ask you, what's the approach of how you train people, or what's your philosophy of addressing this population?
Sure. Well, we take a three-pronged approach to this, to our ministry, raising awareness, assisting parishes with forming an inclusion team, or even just an individual who acts as an advocate, as well as directing parishes when needed towards specialized or adaptive materials, and even providing workshops and training. So awareness, a lot of times I'll speak at the formation day. I've spoken at the formation days for the parish catechetical leaders. Each spring host Disabilities Awareness Mass, which is also have a small reception afterwards, and we'll invite different organizations and individuals that are working to support there. So it's a little bit of a little bit of an expo in that sense. So families have the opportunity to ask questions to them and see what's available. But it's just a beautiful, beautiful opportunity. The inclusion teams, there aren't too many, there aren't too many specific inclusion teams yet, but I hope that if this is something that a parish is interested in, you know, feel free to reach out, because it's just a really fantastic resource. And essentially what this team does is they're just their eyes and ears and mouths when they see something that's just not working for somebody. They might be the person to bring it to the parish council, for example, to say, can we do something about this? There's a really wonderful, there's an active ministry that even in their parish bulletin each week, they'll include just a little did you know.
Yeah, so there's awareness and inclusion, mm-hmm. and then the third approach?
Yeah, just really adaptive or specialized materials. So I really actively seek out good resources of all kinds, particularly in Way of Faith formation. And one of the biggest requests that I get is for sacramental preparation. So
yeah, that's what I was going to ask. Yep. Because, confirmation, you're afraid, you're afraid to go up there, for instance, or the sacrament of reconciliation again.
Right.
It's people have fear kind of anyway, kids do. But if you have, anxiety, or you have, maybe autism or mm-hmm. some other, or just physical, like how do I walk up there? I don't mm-hmm. want to look mm-hmm. embarrassed the way I am, the way I walk, or I right. can't walk, as an example.
Right. Well, or even just if you're nonverbal, or just how, it's one of the great things that's really come about through this, the pastoral statement that I was talking about, is because the bishops later developed some actual guidelines for celebrating the sacraments with persons with disabilities. And it's wonderful because it incorporated things from the liturgical rites and canon law. So it's like a one-stop place where you can get both pastoral approaches, but also just knowing this is what's actually required to receive this sacrament.
Yeah,
and it's a lot simpler than you might imagine.
Right. So you make the accommodation, but it's still a valid sacrament, because
absolutely.
I mean, you can see how people will be, well, I don't want to make that mm-hmm. change because, like, mm-hmm. maybe it's not going to be valid.
Absolutely.
Now, are there special places and times where sacraments are offered to people mm-hmm. with various handicaps? I'm thinking, what you and Bridget were just talking about there. Not every parish can do those all of the time, just mm-hmm. because of staff and facilities and things
sure.
like that.
Well, it really just kind of depends on the needs of the persons. Many do just go through, say, for example, a confirmation program at their parish. They may have a little bit of extra support. A couple of years ago, there was a young woman who went through the RCIA program through her parish and received the sacraments at the Easter Vigil. For some individuals, it works better to receive sacraments at a daily mass, at a quieter daily mass, rather than at a huge Sunday mass or the huge adult confirmation gathering. Some also do choose to receive their sacraments at our Disabilities Awareness Mass in the spring, which is always really beautiful. There's always, it seems, a small handful of people who receive their confirmation or first communion at that point.
Now, one thing, every now and then you'll see someone signing at Mass, using sign language at Mass. Mm-hmm. Is there a regular time and place where people who are deaf, that is there a particular time and place where somebody who is deaf can go every week to have a Mass that is signed?
Good question. Thanks for asking.
That is a good question, yeah. Jim. I didn't have that one. He pops in with a couple good ones here and there.
I know of one parish that has it pretty much every week, and another that I think has it most weeks, but mm-hmm. the interpreter who's volunteered her time for that is sometimes out of town. So St. Matthew's has their 9 a.m. Mass interpreted pretty much every Sunday, including the Easter Vigil, by the way.
Oh, wow, that's great. Time off purgatory
God
for that
bless
one,
that interpreter,
right?
Yes. But St. Jude also has an interpreter who is quite often there, I believe, at their 10:30 Mass.
Okay. Now, I want to talk a little bit about resources, too. Sure. Did we talk about the spread?
Sure.
Okay, did we talk about that yet?
We've not.
Okay, let's talk about that.
Well, spread is one resource. It's essentially a small faith sharing community. You know, we have groups like Christ Renews His Parish or men's or women's group. Spread was designed for both children and adults who have intellectual and developmental disabilities.
Okay.
And it's based on a much more hands-on symbolic approach, meaning like there's an object or maybe a photo or something that is kind of the crux or the heart of the lesson, and mm-hmm. then they're connecting it both to their life experience, to liturgy, and to living in community. And so it's really just a way of coming to build that relationship with God, really through lived relationships with others.
So is that more of a it's okay, so SPRED stands for Special Religious Development. Is that
yeah.
Okay? And then is that for, could that be used for sacramental preparation, or is it more for like Christian community and spiritual development, like a Christ Renews?
Yeah, it's definitely much more of a small faith sharing group.
Okay.
It doesn't, it has one of the lessons, one of the prepared lessons each year does include an opportunity for reconciliation,
mm-hmm.
but it doesn't inherently include preparation for sacraments.
Okay.
So that would have to be in addition.
Now, on your webpage, I did notice that there are a lot of resources. What is there, and what kind of resources mm-hmm. do you offer for parishes that are looking to getting sure. help?
Well, again, it really just depends on the needs of the person. I do have, there's great resources available through the National Catholic Office through the Deaf that are in sign language for preparation both for First Reconciliation, First Communion, and Confirmation,
okay.
which are really, really helpful of several parishes who've utilized those. Loyola Press has, I think
that's what I saw. Yep. Are those on your webpage too?
They are, yeah.
Okay, I think
yeah.
I saw that. Those were cool, but go ahead,
talk
about those.
That's a very, very common one as well, especially for folks who are a little more, who need a lot more visual support.
That would be me.
Yeah. Me too.
I love the pictures. You know, when the books went away from the books, I like stopped reading all that. I'm just kidding. But I was really upset mm-hmm. in fourth grade or something. Yep. They took those pictures away, and that was the end of it.
So that's a big one. Loyola Press actually has a lot of just other really just tools that really any class probably would find helpful. There, you know, again, it really just depends on what a person needs. The Rose Kennedy program is still used by some just for their lessons. It's for, you know, tends to be better utilized with folks who are a little more verbal. But, you know, someone may just need something with a slightly lower reading level. And so sometimes I've even directed people towards resources that were for restored order, where so it's confirmation preparation material that it's more geared towards like a third grade reading level.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, again, it's just really sure. depends on what that individual needs.
We talked about deaf a while back. What about visually impaired? You were talking about that a little mm-hmm. bit. Is there a resource for religious books in Braille?
Absolutely. I often direct people to the Xavier Society. They have they actually have a national lending library that individuals and families can sign up for. It's audiobooks, it's large print books, it's Braille. They'll actually do Braille on request, including for faith formation materials.
Wow.
And they will provide a Bible in Braille upon request as well. So, I mean, it's a free service. A person just basically has to provide certification that they do in fact need it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, a doctor's note, essentially.
Now, how would someone go about getting those materials?
The Xavier Society for the Blind, I'm blanking on the exact website, but it's the registration page for their services is right there on their main page, and it's very, very user-friendly.
And they can get in touch with you? And
absolutely. You they need to be directed a little more closely to it, yes.
So I want to talk about, we've got about 3 minutes left. Is that about right? Okay, so I want to talk about, you have an upcoming event, but before we talk about the event, I want to ask, what are some of the challenges that people mm-hmm. face? Because I think fear might be one. Just dealing with the unknown of people that have various disabilities. So what are the challenges and how do you help with that?
Absolutely. Well, for the individuals and their families, one of the greatest challenges is often isolation, both just because of the realities of their life, but also just uncertainty as far as acceptance or behaviors, just and unfortunately, sometimes they've had bad experiences and sometimes they are kind of ignored, you know, and not necessarily maliciously, but just kind of when you just kind of look past someone. I mean, I'll even, you know, I'm as guilty as that of anyone on occasion. And another barrier, like as you mentioned, is just simply the unknown and the attitudes that so many of us carry around that tend to make integration so much more complicated than it is. You know, just for example, feelings of inadequacy or uncertainty, just even in terms of interacting with someone who has a disability. You know, what do I say? Is it okay to say that? Is it okay to say, see that?
Right. And then going back to how you help people, depending on what end you're on, you know, you go through the three-pronged approach, the mm-hmm. awareness, the inclusion, and the specialized approaches.
Sure.
We have about a minute left. Go ahead and tell us about that event coming up that you have.
Well, December 8th, we have we'll be celebrating the Feast of the Immaculate Conception with a Advent Day of Reflections. We host it at St. Lawrence. It's really for anybody, but it is geared towards adults who have intellectual and developmental disabilities. It's just a beautiful day. Our reflections and activities are centered around the joyful mysteries of the Rosary, and we'll be starting the day off with Mass at 9. So if you want to know more about that, please do feel free to contact me.
Yeah, why don't you go ahead and give your webpage right now?
Sure. www.archindy.org/special-needs.
Erin Jeffries has been my guest. She's the coordinator of special needs for the Office of Catholic Education for the Archdiocese of Indianapolis. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
God bless you in your ministry.
Thanks, you too.
We'll be praying for you and everybody else, right?
Likewise. Yes.
Thanks so much.
You have been listening to Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a presentation of Catholic Radio Indy. You can hear this episode of Faith in Action again or any past episode at CatholicRadioIndy.org. If you have a suggestion for a guest or topic for a future program, please call us at 317-870-8400 or email Jim at CatholicRadioIndy.org.